This podcast is sponsored by the Tree of Life Memorials and Digital in Stone. This is a new platform to create digital memorials, environmental legacies, and fine art monuments. This way we could share the stories, preserve the memories, conserve the land, and connect the souls, because love never dies.
This podcast does not provide medical nor legal advice. Please listen to the complete disclosure at the end of the recording.
Hello and welcome to Everyone Dies, the podcast where we talk about serious illness, dying, death, and bereavement. I'm Marianne Matzo, a nurse practitioner, and I use my experience from working as a nurse for 46 years to help answer your questions about what happens at the end of life.
And I'm Charlie Navarette, an actor in New York City, and here to offer an every person viewpoint to our podcast. We are both here because we believe that the more you know, the better prepared you are to make difficult decisions before a crisis hits.
So welcome to this week's show. Please relax, get yourself something strong to drink. You know, that could be coffee or tea, some pie or chocolate chip cookies. I'm kind of like in the mood for chocolate chip cookies, I think. And thank you for spending the next hour with Charlie and me as we talk about firearm safety. Like the BBC, we see our show as offering entertainment, enlightenment, and education, and divided into three halves to address each of these goals. Our main topic is in the second half, so feel free to fast forward to that twaddle-free zone. In the first half, Charlie has a girdle-busting recipe for our recipe of the week. In the second half, I'll be talking about death by firearms, because with some planning, we may be able to prevent a premature death. And in the third half, Charlie has information about firearm safety and a Shakespearean sonnet. So, Charlie, did you watch the eclipse?
Of course not. I would have been blinded. Actually, here it was, I don't know, it was like 70% cloudy. So it appeared as this big glaring thing you should really not look at without the proper equipment. So there was that. But in Michigan, my a friend of a relative's took pictures. Wow, it was spectacular.
Yeah.
What they saw there. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, we went out on the boat so that we would have an unobstructed view, and took the dogs, plus my daughter's two dogs, which are babysitting, plus a neighbor dog that likes to visit our house and go around with us. So we had four dogs on the boat. And before that, they're like, you know, sniffing the water and enjoying the ride and hanging out. And as the eclipse was happening, one by one, they all fell asleep.
Really? And
And through the eclipse, they were dead to the world. They were just, all four of them, completely passed out. And then, you know, the eclipse finished. I mean, it was like a two-hour thing.
Right.
And then they, like, started waking up. It was like, you know, going through the field of poppies in The Wizard of Oz. It was so weird. So, that was fun.
Yeah, it was.
So, what's our recipe this week?
Well, our recipe this week is called Jimmy Carter Cake. The dessert is crunchy, creamy, chocolatey, and full of peanut flavor, just like the 39th President of the United States. The graham cracker crust incorporates dry roasted peanuts for more crunch. Loads of peanut butter flavor comes through in the cream cheese layer and is matched by the richness of the chocolate pudding layer. It's not really a cake by true definition. The only part that is baked is the crust. Peanuts and graham crackers are pulsed down into fine crumbs, blended with sugar and butter, and then baked to make it extra crisp and firm. Mm. It's the perfect choice for your next funeral lunch. It's a definite crowd pleaser.
That sounds good.
Have you tried it? Have you had it?
I have not made this yet, but I will need to put it in rotation.
Make it. You just can't go to a store?
Well, you can go to the store and get all the ingredients.
Oh, I see that. Okay. Please go to our webpage for this week's recipe for Jimmy Carter cake and additional resources for this program. Your tax-deductible donations are always welcome so that we can continue to offer you quality programming. Thank you in advance for making your donation at www.everyonedies.org. That's dies.org. You can also donate a bit every week at our site on Patreon. Just go to www.patreon.com. And Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And search for Everyone Dies. Marianne?
Thanks, Charlie. Our topic today is about a serious American public health crisis, firearm violence. Firearm violence includes accidental death related to firearms, suicide, mass shootings, and homicide. Now, we're not here to provide opinions about owning firearms, but rather to promote health and safety. So today we're going to talk about what we can do to save lives and promote safer communities. While we know everyone dies, we'd like to avoid premature deaths and keep our loved ones with us for as long as possible. According to a Pew Research Center survey, about half of Americans see firearm safety as a very big problem in the country today. Firearm-related violence is the highest among teens and young adults ages 15 to 34, including those from underserved populations due to systemic and social factors. In 2023, more than 40,000 Americans were killed in firearm-related deaths, resulting in over 110 people dying each day. These data work out to one gun death every 5 minutes. Firearms are also the leading cause of death for American children and teens. Although firearms are the leading cause of death for children under age 18 in the United States, researchers say 4.6 million children are living in homes with at least one unlocked and loaded firearm, leading to unintentional deaths and shootings. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says firearm injury as the number one killer of children ages 1 to 19 years. Now, I know when my children were young and they would be invited over to a friend's house, somebody who I didn't know, and I would talk with the parents ahead of time, one of the questions I would always ask is, are there firearms in the house? And I'd kind of get a pause from the parents and they'd say, well, yes, but they're locked up. And I always believed the parents when they said that they were secured, because I can just see children coming together and the kids saying, oh, you want to see, my dad's firearm, and things going way wrong. And I know that, at that time that it was sort of perceived as a weird question, but I didn't want to take any chances with my kids going over to someone else's house and having something like that happen. So if you have young kids and they're visiting other people's houses, you might consider, if you don't know the parents, you don't know the family, to check and make sure. Firearm safety and violence prevention training is a step in the right direction to reduce children's access to firearms in their own homes, leading to a reduced rate of unintentional deaths, school shootings, and suicides. Educating firearm owners about safe storage practices are necessary to protect lives. While federal law requires firearm dealers to provide a secure firearm storage or safety device with the sale of every firearm, it does not require firearm owners to use them. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services introduced the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, ensuring all Americans have access to help during a mental health crisis. And this is only one strategy to prevent suicides from being a leading cause of death by firearms. In the United States, 6 out of every 10 deaths by firearms are suicides. Studies show that the ability to access firearms and firearm suicide risks varies by geographic location. Firearm ownership in rural communities is twice the rate of ownership in urban communities. Firearm-related suicides are highest among older adults and people that live in rural areas. there have been alarming increases in gun homicides among racial and ethnic minorities. From 2019 to 2021, the gun homicide rate increased by 49% for African Americans and 44% for Hispanic Latinos. That figure rose by 55% among American Indian and Alaska Natives. Also, one-third of adolescents live in homes where one or more firearms are accessible, increasing the risk of death by suicide. Suicide prevention is improved by creating environments that reduce risk and enhance safety where individuals live, work, and play. Successfully combating firearm suicides includes securing unloaded firearms and ammunition to prevent shootings and suicides. Now, teenagers are impulsive, and if they have an access to a firearm, they can use it in an impulsive act that has negative consequences for everyone. I can remember a child that one of my daughters went to school with, and I guess his grades were poor, and his mother had said to him, "You're not going to some event that he really wanted to go that weekend, and you're going to stay home and you're going to study." And he, you know, this was like, you know, a major social event, at least in his mind, of his life. And he really wanted to go. And she said, "No, you got to get your grades up. That's your priority in life." She says, "I'm going to run to the store. Here's a list of chores you need to do. And when you're done with them, you need to start studying." So she leaves, goes to the store, comes back, opens the garage door. And he had taken a gun that they had given him for Christmas and shot himself and left the note with the list of chores to do, like tacked on the groom, on the broom there. And it was horrific. It was horrific. And it was impulsive. And teens are impulsive. Their brains are not fully formed. They think of the minute of what's going on right now, and they don't think long term. And so with an unsecured gun, and in this case it was a gun that the father had given the child for Christmas, he had access to the gun, he had access to the bullets, but not access to a fully formed brain. And that is really the issue with teenagers and firearms being around. They're impulsive, and just remember that. They don't think clearly. In the third half, Charlie has a list of suggestions for you, but for now, let me give you four rules of firearm safety. The first is treat every gun as it's always loaded. You know, you heard about that that shooting on the film set. Who was that, Charlie?
The name of the film is Rust. Alec Baldwin was a producer and the lead actor.
And they had a prop gun, which was assumed to be a prop gun, and you know, and he was playing with it, is how I understand it, and.
Yeah, it's not so much that he was playing with it. He had the gun and he had it in his hand, and I don't, for lack of a better way to say it, he was just checking out how he would, you know, in the scene, how he would aim and fire it. So he was just practicing and then pulled the trigger, not knowing that there was a live round in it, and there should never be a live round, you know, on a movie set. It's just, right. There's no need for it. It's a movie. It's not the urban jungle. So basically that.
So rule number one, treat every gun as if it's always loaded. You know, you assume that it's not. It's firearm safety. Number two, always keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. Safe is if the gun actually went off, it would cause minimal property damage and no injury of loss or life. So, you know, I've known people who've, you know, cleaning their gun and shot their foot off. I mean, I literally know people, somebody who did this. I'm not laughing at them. I'm just like, this really happened. And, you know, you need to, when you, you know, make sure that the gun is disarmed, and making sure that if it went off, if when it is armed, that nobody's going to get hurt. Number three is always keep your trigger finger at the home position until you're actually ready to fire. Now, the home position is where the bottom of the slide. And number four, always be sure of your target and what's behind it. If you're not sure, you shouldn't discharge the firearm. And in looking at firearm safety, I also know somebody whose partner carried a gun, would come home and in the garage would empty out the bullet, you know, all the bullets, and then lock it up. And one day, for whatever reason, he came in the house and he didn't do that. And their two dogs were laying together on a sofa. And exactly how the gun went off, I'm not clear, but the gun went off. It went through one dog, through the other dog, through the wall, and into the pillow where my friend was like standing next to. And she was like, "What the heck was that?" And then she hears her like husband screaming, and she goes out, and both of the love of her life dogs are dead.
Horrible.
Isn't it just unbelievably traumatic? Yeah. And why? Because what he always did regarding his firearm safety, which he was meticulous about always, one day, for whatever reason, he didn't do it.
I see the dogs are weighing in on this.
The dogs are saying, "Good God, we're never snuggling together again, because if a gun goes off that we don't have, it's going to go through us and that'll be the end of us." So they're very adamant that make rules for your firearms, follow them, and don't give yourself that break of this one time, "I really have to go to the bathroom, so I'm not going to do this," you know, or whatever it is. I never really knew why. Follow your own rules. Empty out that gun. Lock it up. Charlie?
Well, it's what you're saying, you know, follow your own rules. I just wonder, I mean, how many people don't have rules? They just, you know, leave, you know, firearms out, not thinking twice about it. And, you know, and this thing about, you know, buying firearms for your children. And when I say children, I mean anyone under 18. Yeah, you got to teach them. I mean, this is not stuff that's automatic. You know, firearm safety needs to be taught. And as we've mentioned before, you know, 18, your brain is not fully formed. What is it, Marianne?
Well,
25. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. For the frontal lobe to sort of gel. Before that, it's like liquid jello. It's just sloshing around in your brain. Not literally, but essentially. And it doesn't form into full jello until around 25.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sorry, but, I mean, it's just a responsibility of the parents. You know, it's good parenting. You just can't toss a set of car keys to your kid and expect a kid to know what he or she is doing. And it's the same with gun safety. You got to teach it.
Well, and also model it by example.
Yeah.
Because they learn more about from our actions than from what we tell them.
Absolutely. The old adage about actions speak louder than words.
So do you have some tips for us?
Yes, I do. As you said, We want to give folks help and tips to promote firearm safety and help prevent an untimely death of a loved one. So I have 10 tips from Project Child Safe to help you do that. 1. Always keep the firearm's muzzle pointed in a safe direction. A safe direction means that the gun is pointed so that even if an accidental discharge occurred, it would not result in injury. 2. Always keep your finger off the trigger until you actually intend to shoot. When handling a gun, rest your finger outside the trigger guard or along the side of a gun. Don't touch the trigger until you are actually ready to fire. 3. Firearms should be unloaded when not actually in use. Whenever you pick up a gun, such as when removing it from or returning it to storage, remember to point it in a safe direction and make sure it is unloaded. 4. Be sure you know how your firearm operates. Read the manual on your firearm, know how to safely open and close the action of the firearm, and know how to safely remove any ammunition from the firearm and its magazine. 5. Store your firearms in a locked cabinet, safe, gun vault, or storage case when not in use, ensuring they are in a location inaccessible by children and cannot be handled by anyone without your permission. 6. Store your ammunition in a locked location separate from firearms. 7. Use a gun locking device that renders a firearm inoperable when not in use. A gun lock should be used as an additional safety precaution, but this is not a substitute for secure storage. 8. Make sure young people in your home are aware of and understand the safety guidelines concerning firearms. Have them sign the Project Child Safe Pledge for young people, a reminder that if they find an unattended firearm in their home or a neighbor's, to not touch it, and tell an adult. The link for this pledge is in our show notes. 9. Always unload, clean, and place your firearms in their secure storage location immediately after returning from a hunting trip or a day at the range. 10. Educate everyone in your family about firearm safety. Visit the Project Child Safe website for safety information and to find out where to get a free firearm safety kit in your area. The link is in our show notes. Lastly, remember that we all have a civic duty regarding safety and make your voice heard. A quick online search of your voting district or of town meetings near me will reveal community locations where you can speak out. Attend these meetings and ask what community leaders are willing to do to combat this public health crisis. Find your state's legislative branch and perform a search to locate pending bills for health care or guns and attend hearings for those that interest you. Some allow virtual participation. Take one or two of your friends along for support. You can even go out for a bite to eat afterwards.
That's a good idea.
Yes, it is.
Go out for a few White Castles.
Yes. And I had several of those while I was in Michigan.
All right. Jeez.
Okay.
You didn't bring me any, did you?
I did, but you know what? They were starting to get cold, and I thought, you know, by the time I wrap these and send them to you, they're not going to be as well. And what kind of a friend would I be to send you wrinkly, cold White Castles? Not a very good friend. So
But you did send me circus peanuts.
Yes, I did.
I open this box and it's like orange circus peanuts. No. It's like, why, Charlie? Why?
Why ask why? We end today's podcast with Shakespeare's 29th sonnet. This poem is about the power of love to positively affect one's mindset. It argues that love offers compensation for the injuries and setbacks we endure in life. The poem begins with the speaker expressing his despair and loss of reputation and status, but ends on a positive note, with the speaker being restored to happiness by love. The poem is traditionally believed to have been written for a young man. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, content at least, yet in these thoughts myself almost despising. Haply I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorned to change my state with kings. Mm. And with that, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for the continuing saga of Everyone Dies. This is Charlie Navarette. And from Neil Young, Tin Soldiers and Nixon coming, we are finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming for Dad in Ohio.
And I'm Marianne Matzo, and we'll see you next week. Remember, every day is a gift.
This podcast does not provide medical advice. All discussion on this podcast, such as treatments, dosages, outcomes, charts, patient profiles, advice, messages, and any other discussion are for informational purposes only and are not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment. Always seek the advice of your primary care practitioner or other qualified health providers with any questions that you may have regarding your health. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard from this podcast. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Everyone Dies does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, practitioners, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned in this podcast. Reliance on any information provided in this podcast by persons appearing on this podcast at the invitation of Everyone Dies or by other members is solely at your own risk.